Don't realize how bright it is with the lights and the lights are shining on you. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I just want to thank Pastor Stephen and Yunami for this opportunity to share with you. I don't take it lightly. It is a privilege for them to share the platform and to be here with you today. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about me. My name is Helen and I'm one of the team here at Fremantle Kwinana, and I've actually been part of the church. Charlie and I were part of the original team that came down to establish the church, which was 29 years ago. More than 29 years ago. So I was very heavily pregnant with my second child. We'd moved from Albany. I actually thought maybe I was going to give birth in the car between all of our driving. But we managed to get into our house before he was born, but the church was established in the April in 96. So I am a wife. I've been married for nearly 40 years to Mr. Ricardo. And I'm just so, just so blessed for him to be my husband. I'm the mother of three incredible adult children, and I will say incredible because they are all married, they are all serving God in their respective churches. Two boys that are here in Perth, and I've also am nonna to two beautiful little girls who are my little rays of sunshine. They are, if you're a grandparent, you know what I'm talking about. They just bring you so much joy and nothing is too much or too hard, and they just, yeah. So I've got a little Sienna who is three who lives in Perth, and my other granddaughter Ziva is in London. So we have lots of FaceTime and lots of probably talk every 2 days. We have chats with her and read stories, and that's like really precious. So looking forward to having lots more grandchildren, but I'm not putting any pressure on my other son who hasn't had any yet, but you know, we're just praying that God will be just so good, and God is good. So today is Mother's Day, a day when we pause to honour and celebrate the women who have shaped our lives with love, with sacrifice and prayer, but some of us don't have that great experience. So it may not be love, it may not be support, may not be sacrifice, and may not be prayer. And mothers come in all shapes and sizes and forms, and some are our biological parents, our biological mothers, but sometimes we've got mothers in our world that are not our biological mother. Now, I'm actually really blessed to have there's a few figures in my world, but two key ladies who have been very, very I'd say inspirational and supportive of me, and one of them is Pastor Lynette Tobin, who we've known for a very long time, who's just been a source of encouragement. And every time I go to see her, it's like she goes, okay, so what's happening? I'm like, no, nothing, I've just come to visit. And the other one is another pastor, Dulcie Ladyman, who was my pastor when we first went to Albany. We lived down there for 9 years when I was just a 21-year-old. Yeah, 21, I think, when I went down to Albany. We'd been married a couple of years. And she is my mother duck. And I still call her mother duck. And she, I think, shaped me to become the wife and the mother, helped shape me to become the wife and the mother that I am today. And even now, I still call her mother duck. I send her a message. How's my mother duck? Put little ducks in there. And she's just been an amazing lady and just always, always full of joy and just full of... So that's really amazing. So Mother's Day is often joyful, but for some people it is actually a complex time. Some of us are missing mothers, some are longing to become one, some are standing in the gap, mothering children who may not biologically be theirs. And others are weary from the long journey of motherhood itself. Being a mum, it's not easy. It's probably one of the hardest jobs, and I will use the word jobs, that we do. It's sometimes thankless, it's tiring, it's long hours, and it's without pay, but it's also the best job. And I remember saying that to my daughter. I said, being a mum is the greatest thing that you will ever do. So I just want to, can we play the video clip that's there, please?
Hey, Mom?
Hey, Mom. Where did dirt come from?
Hey, Mom. I got laundry.
Hey, Mom, why does Fiona have two mommies?
Hey, Aunt May, is it Thursday?
Does this look infected?
Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom!
Hey, Mom!
Hey, Mom!
Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! I'm stuck again!
Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom!
Hey, Mom! How far is the moon?
Does that resonate with moms? Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! It's never, hey, Dad. But if it is, it's usually, go and ask your mum. So that ad is actually an ad for Google. So the mum sits down and then she says, hey, Google. But I want to kind of change it a little bit. Let's change it up. But it should be, hey, God. So here's our source. Here's our strength. Here's the one that we go to. And as a mum, that's what I go to, hey, God. So today I just want to share with you on strength in the waiting, how God meets our disappointments, our exhaustions, our broken dreams, and renews us with hope that we didn't even know was possible. And I want to talk to you all about something that we all have to go through, and that's waiting. Not the kind of waiting in the grocery line or when you're at the petrol station, not that kind of waiting, but the deep, soul-shaking waiting where you're holding on to the promises of from God and nothing seems to be moving or happening. Life may have been going really well and suddenly you've been thrown a curveball. But how will you face it? Quitting? Defeated? Or will you rise above and be the person that God has called you to be, his ambassador, a kingdom catalyst that brings hope to those around you? So my challenge to you all today is, what's your confession? What are people going to know you for? Isaiah 40 verse 31 reminds us, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint. Waiting is not a weakness. Waiting is where strength is born. It's in the waiting where God meets us. This verse is a promise for those who are tired, discouraged, or worn out. A lifeline for anyone who's been walking through a long season of waiting. But God doesn't just ask us to wait. He promises to renew us in the process. Just have a look at the people around you. Have a look at your neighbour. Have a little look. They look fine, don't they? They look great. It's Sunday, we put on our best, we put on our smiles, but do you know what? We don't know what's going on the inside. We don't know what battles they're facing. We don't know what their struggles are. We don't know what their disappointments are. We don't know what their hurts are. We don't know the season that they're in where they're waiting for God to come through. But, so I've got a couple of points that I actually want to share with you. And the first one is patience. Who likes being patient? Who's a patient person? Who likes waiting? Who likes sitting in traffic? Who gets impatient when the grocery line doesn't move as fast as you want? Who stands at the microwave waiting for the food to cook or heat? Thinking, come on, come on, come on. We live in a world where we get instant things, and when we have to wait, we don't like it. But God wants us to be patient. The first line says, they that wait upon the Lord. Waiting is not just about time, it's about our attitude. Waiting is not passive, it's actually our active faith. It's trusting God while the answers are delayed. It's praying when you don't see progress. It's choosing to worship when your heart is weary. It's choosing to believe when nothing seems to be changing. It's activating what you know to be true. The circumstances may have changed, but God hasn't. Now let's be really honest. Life does not always go the way we plan. Hands up if you had your life mapped out at 18 and you're exactly where you thought you were going to be. No hands. Patience doesn't mean pretending that everything is okay. It means persisting in faith when things are not okay. It means endurance and trust. It means holding on even when you don't see change. And there are seasons when it feels like everything is on hold. Your dreams, your family's healing, your children's obedience, if you've got children in those years. And in those moments, patience is not just a virtue, it becomes a necessity for survival. When you can't see a way out, you've just got to be patient and trust. Isaiah 40 verse 31 doesn't say those that hustle the hardest will renew their strength. Does it say that? Hustle? No, it says what? Wait. Yet it's in the waiting where God meets us. And we just have to learn to just wait, be patient. My next point is about brokenness. I'm just going to share a little. A couple of years ago, after I worked for the church for a long time, and then I made the decision to leave, and I got another job, got an amazing job, working for a not-for-profit organization, and it was amazing. I loved it. It was a great, great organization. And I don't work there anymore, but I still say we. So I still kind of like think that I'm, because I was so entrenched and gave so much of myself to it. But they made some changes that I didn't see coming, and I was actually dismissed. Not for any, just they made some changes and I didn't suit what they were doing. I was actually pretty devastated. I was like, wow, how could that happen? I've given so much of my time. I've given so much of myself. My team that I worked with were utterly disappointed. I became very disillusioned. I was very heartbroken. But you know what? God says, I will renew your strength. Before God renews our strength, we often have to experience weakness, fatigue, or brokenness. Sometimes God allows us to come to the end of ourselves so that we can fully lean and rely on Him. And that's what I had to do. I was like, after giving so much of myself to this organization, a job that took hours and hours, and sometimes my husband would be like, they're just, taking up too much time. He was not happy with all the hours that I used to do. But it was what I wanted to do. Brokenness comes when life shatters our expectations. So I expected that I was going to be there long term. Right, this is my, I'm going to be here for ages. We sometimes think our families should look a certain way. We dreamed of peace and joy, but instead we're facing rebellion from our children, illness, possibly divorce, relationship breakdowns, loss. And sometimes the hardest part of waiting is dealing with broken expectations. How do we manage them? I thought I did everything right. I prayed, I served, I did, I committed, I gave my 150% to this organization, and look what happened. Life fell apart. But when you're broken and you're in that space, you're not forgotten. God sees you. But you know what? You can't stay in that brokenness. You actually have to step into the space where God can actually minister to you. So you have to set that time aside. Because it's in the brokenness that some of the deepest work of God happens. Disappointment can make you feel broken. But here's the good thing. God does his best work when we are broken pieces, because he can then put us back how he wants us to be. Let me tell you this, brokenness is not failure. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's a place where God can rebuild you, and it's his strength instead of our own. God's not afraid of your pain. He's present in that pain, and he will use even your deepest disappointments and hurts to draw you closer to him. Like Hannah, who was broken over her barrenness, but God, she poured her heart out to God, her heart and soul out to God, and what happened? She was given a son. Naomi, who lost everything, her husband, her sons, her life, but God restored her future through Ruth. And like Jesus, who was broken on the cross so that we could be made whole. He had to be broken so that we could have life. Despair and disappointment is not where we reside. But through that time of brokenness for me, you know, it was a couple of months, I applied for lots of jobs, kept getting knockback after knockback, and you kind of begin to question, what's the matter? Is there something the matter with me? What am I doing wrong? But I shared a post on social media about doors. It meant nothing. It was just a random thing I saw. I thought, oh, that's really interesting. I shared it. Out of the blue, I get a message back from someone saying, hey, and with this job situation, I actually hadn't told anyone that I had lost my job. I mean, family know, a few close friends, but my wider circle and the wider circle didn't know. But then I get this response from the post I shared saying, hey, are you looking for a job? Let's talk. God knew. And so that was where I am now. It's a place called Masters Psychology, and the owner was Rochelle Masters, and I've known Rochelle for a long time. And so she's like, let's talk. Come. I want you to come and work for me. So that's where I am now. Great job. I love my job. I also work for the church, and I love that too. But Masters is just, I've got a great team, and I just love that. But God knew. And so God, in my brokenness, God was able to restore. And that goes to my next point. So in our brokenness, you know all that we have to do? All that we have to do is trust. Trust the process and trust God. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. This part of the verse paints a really powerful picture. An eagle soaring above the storm. Think about eagles. What do? You just see them gliding. They don't flap in panic. They don't flap around like seagulls do, squawking, trying to get every little bit. They just soar. They rest in the wind, and that's what trust looks like. It's resting in God's power, not your own. And when you trust, you give God control of the outcome. You stop trying to fix what only God can change. You choose peace over anxiety. Sometimes, and many of us do, and I like to have all my little ducks in a row. I like to know, have a bit of control. But sometimes we've just got to let go and let God, because that's when he can do what he... And we've got to trust that he's got us. Trust lifts us above the storm and gives us a kingdom perspective that God is in control of the situation, even when the circumstances around us are out of control. A kingdom catalyst, and that's our theme for 2025, you know, kingdom catalyst. What are we doing to be kingdom catalysts? What's your declaration? What's your statement today? A kingdom catalyst is someone who brings the culture of heaven to earth through their words, their actions, and their presence. And if you're going to carry that kind of influence, You have to go through the process. You have to trust God's process even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable. You know, trust looks like saying, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Even when I don't know what else to do, I will trust. I will stay engaged, and that means turning up. No matter what you're going through on a going through the week, where are you going to be on a Sunday? In the house. Where are you going to be midweek? Bible study, connect group. Attend the prayer meetings. Women's meetings. Women's meetings, that's right. Footy. So I lost where I was up to now. Stay engaged. Don't, in your brokenness, don't disappear. Be here. Be here. Stay connected. Because you know what? We're not meant to do the life on our own. We're meant to be connected with each other. That's why God puts us together in a family. We've got to stay engaged. And I will worship because it's all I know how to do. In your home, fill your house with praise and worship. In your car, praise and worship. Because you know what God will do? If we're through waiting, through the brokenness, through the trust, God will restore and bring hope. It says, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint. This part of the promise is about endurance, about lasting strength, not momentary bursts, but long lasting. And that strength is fueled by hope. Hope reminds us that God's not finished with you. I think our oldest person here is Muriel. You know what? God's not finished with Muriel. She's still got, there's still people that she's going to influence. There's still people that she's going to impact. So God's not finished. Your waiting has purpose. Even when you can't see it, you've got to trust it has purpose. And you know what? On the other side, there's beauty for the pain that you've endured. You know, the world says hope, it's like, it's kind of like wishful thinking. Oh, well, you know, I hope I get that new job. I hope I get this. We use the word hope so loosely. But hope, it's confidence in a faithful God. So you may be walking slowly today, but you're not fainting. You're still moving forward. And that's what hope does. It keeps you going. Hope is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a promise based on the unchanging nature of God. You know, I just know that God is so good and so faithful. And I'm facing some big challenges in the coming months. But you know what? I know that my God has never let me down. Never. His goodness has always been there. It hasn't been easy. You know, we've had ups and downs. But God, the one thing that I know to be true is in 42 years of following the Lord, He has been faithful and His goodness is always there. You know, God will restore. It doesn't always mean that everything goes back to the way it was. Because sometimes you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back to where it was. But sometimes it can be something new. It can be something better. Something you never imagined can be born out of your sorrow and your brokenness. That's who God is. He's not just the God of strength. He is the God of restoration. You know, sometimes you might feel like that you've lost years, that you've done stuff and it's, you know, but you know what? It's not lost. Good things can come out of that pain. And God is not done. You need to know that God's not finished with you. You might feel tired, but he says you'll run and not grow weary. You may feel like you can't go on anymore, it's all too hard. But God says you'll keep walking. It's not wishful thinking. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's knowing that God, that the God who parted the Red Sea and raised the dead is still working for you and for me. Romans 15 verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're meant to be examples to our world. And if we're not giving that, we're not being carriers of hope, how can we be a blessing to them? How can we show them that living a life with God is the way to go? And look, it's not easy. I know that. I know. But we want to be ambassadors for the Lord. You know, like I said, like I'm facing up some challenges. But you know what? Many of us are facing challenges here. Challenges that we never faced before. You know, future career decisions. You know, children leaving home. They're challenges that we've never faced. But you know what? You just got to know that God has you. He infuses your story with hope. And those that are waiting, he will renew your strength. All you got to do is give it to him. For those that are broken, he will bring healing. For those in the process, he will give you grace. Isaiah 40, verse 31 reminds us that God's strength is available, it's renewable, and it's sufficient. But it's reserved for those who wait, who trust, who endure, and hope. So wherever you are, whatever situation you're in today, just know, be patient. Can we all do that? Can we be patient? God is working in your waiting. In your brokenness, let God renew you from the inside out. Choose to trust, to lean on his promises, and hold on to hope because he's not finished with you yet. And this promise is not just, it's for all of us. But we have to take it, we have to wait, and we have to trust the process. So I'm just going to ask everyone just to close your eyes. Now, if any of those points have you feel that you're broken, or you're feeling where is God in all this? Or you just need some encouragement, I'm going to leave the altar open. I want you to come. Just come. That's what we need to do. We need to come and we need to bring everything to the Lord and just say, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. Allow him to be the one that carries you, that fills you with hope and peace. And if you're here for the first time and you don't know this Jesus that we've talked about, and you don't know, you know, you don't have that personal relationship. You know, today you can actually do it. You can actually, all you have to do, he's there, his hand is outstretched to you, and all you have to do is take the hand. I mean, what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? What, a life with God? A life without him? I know what I would choose. I would definitely be choosing not having to do the life alone. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, you know, we stand here today. You can repeat after me if you'd like. Father, I just stand. And Lord, I just commit my life to you today. Lord, I'm not meant to do it alone, but I need to have a Savior. I need to have a Father who will carry me and sustain me. I acknowledge that I have done things wrong. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that brings hope and life. Lord, I just commit my life to you afresh and ask that you just be with me. In Jesus' name. You know, if you would like to know more about having a relationship with Jesus, please just come. There's Pastor Unami's here. Pastor Charlie's here. I'm here. Andrew Baker's here. Bert's here. So just come. But if you'd like some prayer, can I encourage you, you know, if you're needing something, do not leave here today without coming and getting some prayer. Thank you, team.